Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot.
Today we're going to see one story in David's life that seems to be completely out of his character, out of his personality. And we have been calling David all along a man after God's own heart, because actually God called him that. But there's an exception, and I'm actually going to read for you how God kept measuring all the kings that followed David with David. And for example, I am in 1 Kings 15. There's this new king over Judah. His name is Abiham or Abijam. And we are told he walked in all the sins of his father, on verse 3, which he had committed before him. And his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God like the heart of his father David. See, every king afterwards was measured by the heart of David. And sometimes I wonder, why does God keep saying that David always did right? And look at verse 4. But for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem to raise up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem, because David did what was right in the sight of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except... We have the only exception in David's life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. This is the only exception. It's almost like God has this divine amnesia about David's life. He always says, oh, he did right, he did right, he loved me, he had his heart after me. But every once in a while, God says, except this one time. And don't you wonder what was different about that time than any other time that David sinned? We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And as a matter of fact, David sinned many times, and many of those times are recorded. But when the Lord remembers the life of David, he says he always did right, except this time. Now, this is the time that we call the great sin of David, the great collapse of King David. And by now, we are accustomed to his success, his graceful ways that we have been talking about this whole week, the way that he gives compassion when it's undeserved, the way he treats with abundance. It's a servant of David. Actually, in this case, it was the son of Jonathan. And he seems to be acting like Christ, like God, giving grace all the time, except this one time. And we actually will pick it up in chapter 11 of 2 Samuel. And some of your Bibles will have the title, Bathsheba, David's Great Sin. What was greater about this sin than all the other sins? Does God see shades of sin? Is it possible to have such a great sin that God will remember it forever? What was so different about this particular sin? Well, if you read this chapter, you will see that one day David arose from his bed, verse 2, was walking on the roof, and sees this naked woman who is bathing in her house. You know, the houses look very different than they do now, and a lot of people actually bathe on the roof. But of course, David is the king. He has the best view of the whole city, and he wants this woman. He lusts after her, but he's told that she has a husband. She's the wife of Uriah, on verse 3. But instead of that stopping David, because he's the king, and he will abuse his authority because nobody could say no to the king, he says, bring her anyways. So they bring her, and she becomes pregnant. And then David has this huge problem in his hand because she has a husband. So he tries to cover it. Has that ever happened to you, that you try to cover your sin, and it's getting worse and worse, and you have to cover more and more and more? This is what happened to David. Now Bathsheba is pregnant, and her husband is outside in battle. So David has this great premeditative plan that he's going to bring the husband and make him sleep with Bathsheba so that they think that the pregnancy is his. But of course, this is such a loyal soldier, and I hope you take time to read the whole story. He doesn't want to sleep with his wife. He sleeps at the palace, at the very entrance. He says, I can't do this. My friends are there in battle, and I'm going to go enjoy my wife. No way. So David has this big problem, And the problem is that he has gotten somebody else's wife pregnant, and now he has to cover it up. So he will send a command to put Uriah in the very front of the battle so that he dies. And, well, then he can take Bathsheba as a wife. The last verse of chapter 11 is a very sad verse. It ends, the whole chapter ends on 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 27, saying, "But the thing that David had done was evil in the sight of the Lord." Of course, he had done something terrible, committed adultery, committed murder. Does that mean that this is the reason why the "except" keeps coming up later on? Was it because of the gravity of the sin? I don't think so. I don't think that that was the reason why this one sin was an exception. I think the reason is because he actually stayed with this sin for a very long time in rebellion against the Lord without repenting and cherishing the sin, thinking that he got away with it. So much so that it is God who will initiate the contact with David about this. David is not repentant. David is not saying, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry," like he says many other times when he either loses his temper or he gets proud or all kinds of other things that David does. In this case, he thinks he got away with it. He actually is proud on the fact that he's the king and he can do whatever he wants. He abuses his authority as the anointed of the Lord. And so chapter 12 shows how compassionate God is that doesn't let him stay there. He initiates the contact. He sends a prophet. And the closest we have to a parable in the Old Testament is actually a court case. Don't forget that the king was also the lawyer at that time. So he says, "Well, I have a case for you," says Nathan. "There is this man that has a lot of sheep. But there's this one man, is a poor man, it has only one little lamb. Now, can you believe it that the very rich man comes and takes away the one sheep?" And you know, David, with his authority as a legal sovereign at that time, he says his anger burned greatly on verse 5 of chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. And he says he must make restitution. But then he says he deserves to die. Of course, I mean, how could you think of something like that? Nathan says to David, "You are that man. You are that man. And throughout all this time, you're about to have a baby. And that baby won't be born. Actually, he will die. But your sin has been forgiven." And you say, "Well, what are you saying?" Verse 13, "David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.' And Nathan said to David, 'The Lord has taken away your sin. You shall not die. Unfortunately, the consequence of your sin is that your child will die.'" I think that this, whatever months, almost 9 months that went by, in which David rebelled against the Lord and stayed against an express command of the Lord knowingly and unrepentantly, is the only time in his life where his heart was not after God's own heart. And even then, God could still bless him. Have you ever wondered, is there pardon for the sinful who know they're sinful, who do not deserve pardon? I think this part of David's life, where we get some of the most beautiful psalms that he has written, for example, it is believed that Psalm 32 was written during this time, and he says, "I covered my sin," and he says, "I was dry inside, my bones were dry." Because anytime you cover your sin and you rebel against the will of the Lord willingly and do not become repentant, or in the sense that you want to keep on doing that, your life is dry. You are drying from the inside out. In this case, he wrote Psalm 32. He wrote Psalm 51, beautiful psalms. And his idea that God could not now bless him because of that is completely reversed immediately. We are told that after the time of mourning for his son who died, he went to his wife, verse 24, and she conceived. And he named him Solomon. And the Lord loved him and called his son Jedidiah, the same person, Solomon. Can you believe that God could actually love the fruit of a marriage that started this way? Can God really bless us in spite of who we are when he has pardoned us? Well, he definitely chose this marriage to have Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. You know, when Paul is discussing how God can pardon us so fully, he uses the example of David. One of the best places I love when he quotes Psalm 32 in Romans 4. If you go to Romans 4, verse 7, he's quoting Psalm 32. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven, says David, and whose sins have been covered. It's so different when you're covering your sins versus when your sins are covered. And this is what happened to David. He came to the place where the Lord initiated the contact and said, come on, I want to bless you. And David said, yes, I have sinned. And then the Lord said, okay, now your sin is forgiven, and I'm going to give you the wisest man that ever lived as your son. Actually, God could have blessed anybody else with the wisest man that ever lived. But this is the way God showed his mercy. Because reading from Romans 4, verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven, whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. You can be that man or woman.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101 Media. Until next time, live free.
Woohoo!